God is good. All the time. And the amazing thing, we see His goodness working from start to finish. God moves in His people to show how great and awesome He is. I just as amazed you would never expect it to start out today like it did. But God has a purpose for everything, and it is ultimately to draw us closer to Him so that we become more like Him and His Son, so that we can find our hope, our life in Him. And I'm telling you, it is a blessing to know that we serve an awesome God. And let me tell you, without us serving Him wholeheartedly, as we taught in Sunday school this morning, you really will not find the full fulfillment of the abundant life Jesus has called us to. Until we give totally over to Him, trust Him, you will not find all that He has, because it is far vast than we can even comprehend. But He wants to take us on that journey with Him. So praise God. I thank Him for His Spirit's presence in this place. So hallelujah. A few announcements today. For this month here, that's coming to an end rapidly. Men's ministry on March 26th is going to be having breakfast here at the church, and we're following will be a cornhole contest. And I just invite all men to come and just enjoy a time out together of fun and fellowship and some food, and we'll be blessed. Be blessed. Everyone is invited. Come on out. You don't have to be skilled at throwing a beanbag. You don't have to make anything, because we are being blessed by the ladies. So just come out to enjoy. Enjoy. Just like we have enjoyed God's presence here today, we will enjoy God's presence on that day. Also, April approaching rapidly. April 9th, put on your calendars, is church cleanup day. Just encourage each of you to participate in cleaning, taking your part in getting the church in order. It takes a lot to keep this church clean, keep it updated, and just take care of the many things that this facility has to offer. So I just encourage you, those of you that have time and aren't working and would like to participate, come on out and enjoy us on the Saturday the 9th. I think it's 8 o'clock it starts, correct? 8 o'clock in the morning. Also, women's ministry is April 3rd. That's Sunday after the service. Come on out and enjoy fellowship with the ladies. You'll have an awesome time. Any questions, just see Karen Webb, and she'll help you. Easter, approaching rapidly again. Man, it's here. This year is going by quick. We are looking to collect some candy so that we can hand candy out the Sunday before. Or what is that? Oh, April 13th. That's Wednesday. The Wednesday before that evening, Easter Sunday. But there's also a schedule for Easter. We're having the Sunrise service again. So I encourage you to participate. It is a great opportunity to place a time of fellowship and praise to the Lord in our community. Finally, I'm supposed to announce this, that we need help in our ministries. There's individuals that have actually called and want to come to church, but they are either shut, they don't have license, or something's hindering them at this point. We're looking for a van driver. Somebody that God lays on your heart to drive van, or you enjoy just transporting people, come on and see the church. See Beth Berman or Letha Robinson. They will get you to the right people. Also, we're looking for Sunday school teachers and helpers in all the other ministries. We can just use help. If you are willing to be used as the Lord, you will see what He will do in your life to build and develop our relationship with Him and with one another. So we thank you and just ask your blessing to within the church participation. We love you. Thank you. Let's welcome the pastor.
Thank you, Harry. We do welcome our phone church and our live stream church. And we welcome you here. Hallelujah. Jesus is here in this place. We thank him for it. Acts chapter 2. Starting with verse 16, Acts chapter 2, and starting with verse 16. But this is the beginning of what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. As it shall be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see divinely prompted visions. And your old men shall dream divinely prompted dreams. Even on my bond servants, both men and women, I will in those days pour out my spirit. And they shall prophesy, and I will bring about wonders in the sky above and signs attesting miracles on the earth below, blood and fire and smoking vapor. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And it shall be that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, invoking, adoring, and worshiping the Lord Jesus shall be saved, other known as rescued spiritually. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you will bless it today. And Holy Spirit, we do welcome you in this place. We thank you for the opportunity, and we thank you, Lord, for the time that we have to just to come and to worship. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to preach your word. And Lord, also, we pray, Lord, your blessing. Bless, Lord God, the ones that hear this word, and we will give you the glory and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to look at the power that God gives. The power that God gives. In Acts chapter 2, verses 4 to 41, it is the first sermon preached in the Christian era. The first. It has influenced the world for almost 2,000 years, and its original preaching, over 3,000 people came to know Christ. Wow. We are in such a need for a new Pentecost, where each of us are touched with divine power. Where each of us are touched by Almighty God, and where the supernatural is among us. We are in need of a supernatural experience. I believe it is time we start to see again people responding to the power and love of God, and letting the Holy Spirit move us in a supernatural way. Seeing once again the altars filled and people crying to God and responding to his call. God's power is still available, and we must tap into that power. Hallelujah. It is not by might, nor by money, nor by the things of this world, but rather by a new Pentecost flowing through people who are hungry for God and hungry for a great move of God in the church. We need to see a new Pentecost. We need to see men and women coming who are touched by the Spirit to our altars. This is what made this movement, and that's what will keep it. My prayer is to see a new Pentecost and a new authority that will come against the rebellions of hell and set the captives free. We need to see a new Pentecost. The demons of hell, Satan, the deceiver, I believe is getting too comfortable in our churches and in our homes. We need a new Pentecost that will make demons tremble and shake because they notice and see the power and the blood of Jesus evident in our lives. Let me tell you, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we can command Satan to get out. Even in our homes. I will give you an illustration. One Sunday morning, there was a pastor who was in a downtown hotel without any transportation. He went to church walking distance away to attend one of the services. He estimated it would seat 2,000, and which had four pastors. When he walked in there, there were 42 people. By the end of the service, there were 67. The assistant leaned back, as we understand, and he had told them that they had four hired singers and a famous organist. After the service, he talked to one of the assistant pastors. The others had gone to a brunch that was financed by the church for everyone who came to Sunday morning worship. He told the assistant who he was and asked him, "How do you do this with 67 people?" And the assistant leaned back and said with satisfaction, "Sir, we can go on this way for another 100 years. Because we are so well endowed." And he said those words, and the preacher never left him. He never forgot those words. "We are so well endowed." Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, it says this, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou, wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked." That pastor walked back to his hotel, thanking God for the problems of life in his church, thanking God his church struggled at times to keep a ministry going. And he prayed, "Oh God in heaven, take away all that costs money, but may I never get to the place where I say money will endow the church of Jesus Christ. My only endowment is the Holy Ghost touch from heaven that he provides and he gives. The only endowment we need is the Spirit of God. And the only endowment this church needs is a living, resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords, risen with healing in his wings, marching to victory. Thank the Lord. And I say today, this morning, help us, O Lord, not to say we are so well endowed, but help us to tarry in our own towns until we have been endued with power from on high. There is a bright side, I believe, to this celebration, and that is the promise of God. In Isaiah 59:19, it says this, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. That's the word. When the enemy cannot succeed in this, in his purposes by deception, he occasionally resorts to visible persecution of God's people, seeking to swallow them up like a flood. But then the Lord, who is on our side, hallelujah, will put him to flight. The Hebrew word translated, lift up a standard, is translated, put to flight. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 30, it says, how could one enemy soldier chase 1,000 of Israel's troops? Or how could two of their pursue 10,000 of ours? It can only happen if the Lord stops protecting Israel and let the enemy win. That's the only way. One man said this, I don't know about you, but I am not interested in negotiating a peace treaty with the devil or compromise with him. Hallelujah. We're not interested in negotiating a peace treaty. Not at all. I believe in the celebration of Pentecost. And I believe the church is moving towards goal in a total, ultimate victory. As a living church who serves a living God, we need to take the offensive. And we must realize that we still have the Lord God in power and realize we need a new anointing. So let us rise up in Jesus' name and let us be filled afresh again with a new Pentecost. We can have church. We can have another Pentecost. God never intended the day of Pentecost to be a one-time event. And God wants his people to continue to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit so they can accomplish his will. Let me tell you something. What God had planned for this service, what Mike's songs, what Larry said, and this sermon here this morning is not by accident. God wants to pour out his Spirit upon his people. Four things I want to give to you. The first one is the promise of the Spirit. The disciples had every reason to believe they could expect the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something, church. This is not even Pentecost Sunday. But every day is Pentecost Sunday, right? Why? Why could they believe and why could they expect it? Because Jesus explained to them that it was expedient for him to go so the Comforter could come in John 16 and verse 7. It was expedient. That's the King James Version. Do you know what it really means? It means it would be profitable. It was profitable, as Jesus explained to them, profitable for him to go. Because when Jesus went, he sent. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the promise of the Father. And Peter indicated the promise of the Holy Spirit was not only to immediate audience, but to all afar off. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 39, which also includes our generation right now. Number 2. The people of Pentecost. Acts chapter 1 verses 4 and 8, a people of power. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, a people of prayer. In Acts chapter 1 verse 6 and 10 and Acts 2, 1, there is a people of passion. In Acts chapter 4, 8 to 12, a people of boldness. Wow. Number 3, the presence of the Spirit. The disciples had every reason. Think about it, church. The disciples had every reason to believe that the Holy Spirit would be with them always. Always. The word that is transferred, or translated comforter, referred to a person who was called alongside to be a counselor. Wow! He's with us. Jesus told the believers that the Holy Spirit would abide, other known as dwell, to reside with them forever in John 14. Paul encourages the Corinthians with the words that says, the believer is the temple of God in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. Wow. And the Holy Spirit is within the believer. You understand that, church? The Holy Spirit is within the believer. As God's glorious presence was there at the Holy of Holies. He is with us to encourage us in our earthly sojourn. We've had a few bumps in the road, but He's with us as we continue to sojourn. Philip received guidance in Acts chapter 8, as did Paul in Acts chapter 16. The Holy Spirit provides guidance as believers seek to serve Him. Wow. The Holy Spirit provides power for believers to live as God wants them to live. The power of the Spirit, the disciples had reason to believe that the Holy Spirit would provide power for holy living and effective witnessing. Have we got it yet? Are we there yet? We should no longer be faced with the question, can we have another Pentecost? But rather with the imperative, with the command, we must have another Pentecost. We must. We have to. If we will meet the requirements beforehand, and are willing to pay the price, then God will send another Pentecost. My prayer for you and our prayer for this church is to see the promises of Pentecost again. In the Old Testament, the judges of Israel were empowered by the Spirit of God supernaturally. They received the power, they received the wisdom to perform remarkable works. Gideon is one example of this in Judges chapter 6 and verse 34. So the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon and empowered him, and he blew a trumpet, and the Amorites were called together as a militia to follow him. Wow. Judges 6:34 says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. In the Full Life Study Bible, the writer says this, the verb that says came upon literally means to clothe with. You see, God's Spirit clothed himself with Gideon in order to equip him that he would serve the people of God, that he would do what God wants him to do. And Gideon went forth in the power of the Spirit. Samson's another one in Judges 13:25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. It began to stir him. The Spirit did. Judges 14:6, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he tore the lion apart as one tears apart a young goat. And he had nothing at all in his hand. But the Spirit of God, did he do it in his own power? No, he didn't. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And this made Samson physically strong. The Holy Spirit in the New Testament will empower us so that we can live a life well-pleasing to God. and be a strong and mighty tower in an age that needs to see something that is truly real. Are you with me? That's what the world's looking for. Something that is real. Saul, another example of the Spirit of God coming upon a person in 1 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 6, it talks about it. In 1 Samuel 10, 6, we read the prophecy that was fulfilled in 1 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 6. In 1 Samuel 10, 6 is the promise of the empowering. In 1 Samuel 11, 6, it says, the Spirit of God came upon Saul mightily when he heard these words, and he became extremely angry. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he burned with anger. What happened in 1 Samuel 11, 1-6 was Nahash, the Amorite, went up and wanted to take over Jabesh Gilead. And the men there wanted to make a peace agreement with him. But Nahash would only make this agreement on one condition, and that was to gouge out the right eye of everyone so that it would bring shame and disgrace on all Israel. That sounds painful. They told them they would send messengers throughout Israel. If no one would rescue them, they would surrender. When the message got there, they wept aloud. You can imagine what was taking place. You can imagine the crying that was being done there. It was loud. And at that time, Saul was coming in from the fields. He questioned the crying. He questioned, what's going on? Why are people crying? And they told him that Jabesh had said that when Saul heard their words, the Spirit of God came upon them, and that day God rescued Israel. Isn't that great? That's the kind of God we serve. Church, we need that same Spirit empowering us. That same Spirit empower us. And the Bible tells us we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against the darkness, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness. We are fighting against a host of evil spirits. And these people in high places are energized by the devil himself. Church, if that's the kind of power the devil has, then we are in need of a Holy Ghost energized renewal of strength. We are. We have so much more, if we will only allow the Holy Spirit's freedom to do so. And that's why we can sing, come, Holy Spirit, we need thee. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own special way. Church, he will empower us to destroy the works of Satan. He will do that for us. He will empower us to proclaim the unsearchable riches of God, which will set the captives free. If you're a blood-bought believer, God has given you the Holy Spirit. He has given to us the Holy Spirit. We can't afford to push it aside. We can't afford to quench the Holy Spirit. We are in such a desperate need for an outpouring of God's Spirit. We are at a critical time in life. There is frustration that is all around. People are suffering extreme anxiety. Anger is rampant and people feel hopeless. Church, we can't miss this opportunity that God has for us. I believe we're living in the greatest days. of what God wants to do. I believe that. Zechariah 4:6 said it well. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's very simple, very plain. The work of God is not going to be accomplished by political power. Understand that? The power and the work of God is not going to be accomplished by political power. It's not going to be accomplished by man's power or any other power that man tries to dig up. It will be accomplished by men and women who will allow the Holy Spirit to empower them. It will be accomplished by children, youth, young adults, senior adults, who will allow the Holy Spirit to empower them. That's who God is going to use. Jeremiah chapter 14. Verses 1 to 9. This is hot off the griddle. I just read this. It's the drought and a prayer for mercy. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the drought. Judah mourns and her gates languish. Her people sit on the ground in mourning clothes, and the cry of Jerusalem has gone up. Their nobles have sent their servants for water. They have come to the citrons and found no water. They have returned with empty vessels. They have been ashamed and humiliated, and they cover their heads. The ground is cracked because there has been no rain on the land. The farmers are distressed, and they have covered their heads in shame. The doe in the field has been burnt only to abandon her young because there is no grass. And the wild donkeys stand on the barren heights. They pant for air like jackals. Their eyesight fails because there is no grass. O Lord, though our many sins testify against us, as Jeremiah prayed, act now for us and for your name's sake, so that the faithless may witness your faithfulness. For our backslidings are countless. We have sinned against you, O hope of Israel, her Savior, in time of distress and trouble. Why should you be like a sojourner, temporary resident in the land, or like a traveler who turns aside and spreads his tent to linger only for a night? Why should you be hesitant and inactive, like a man astounded and perplexed, like a mighty man unable to save? Yet you, O Lord, are among us, and we are called by your name. Do not leave us. This is what he said. Why should you be hesitant? Why should you be inactive? Like a man astounded and perplexed. Like a mighty man unable to save. Jeremiah says, yet you, O Lord, you're among us. Church claim it. He's among us. He's among us. And we are called by your name. We're called by his name, church. Not our name, not the Assemblies of God name, by his name. And then Jeremiah says this, and we say it today too, in 2022. Do not leave us. We need you. We need you. This world needs you. Our country needs you. Our leaders need you. Shall we stand? Glory. Lord, we already prayed. that thy Spirit would come into this place. Lord, we have a country that's in turmoil. We got leaders that don't know what they're doing. Father, we pray that you would so move. Lord, I believe. Lord, this here pandemic and everything included with it did not take you by surprise, but it's in your plans that you're going to move by thy Spirit. I believe we're living in the last days. I believe your word says you're going to pour it out upon us. And Father, I believe these are things that you're using. I believe, Lord God, the enemy wanted to use them to take our eyes off of you, to get our eyes on problems, to get our eyes on things, other things. But Lord God, our eyes are upon you. We look to you. We call upon your name and we magnify you, Lord God. And we pray right now that you would help your church. Oh God, pour your Spirit out upon us. Pour your Spirit out upon us, Lord, we pray. That is our cry at this time. That is our cry today. Pour your Spirit out upon us, oh God. Jesus. Jesus, help us. It's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't at all. We're fighting against the enemy. And he knows his days are limited. And Father, I pray that you will raise up another Gideon's army. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to go forth in Jesus' name. Church, today, I'm not closing this service. But if you feel you need to come and get refilled, you need to come and get another touch from God, that God would help you. The Spirit of God has been poured out upon that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And I ask you if you would just take some time and come to this altar and pray like you've never prayed before. Pray, Lord, for Ukraine. Pray for the country. Pray for Russia. Pray for that president there. Pray that God will turn this thing around for his glory. I believe he will. I believe he's going to. He's not forgotten us at all. It might seem like it at times, but he's not forgotten us. I invite you to come. We're not going to close the service. When you get done praying, you feel free, you can leave. But would you come and pray and pour your soul out to God? Thank you, Jesus.